Hi, Lindy.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. You better?
I am.
Stephen, just on that point, are we getting to a point now where we're getting much more of a division between the haves and the have-nots because of, I mean, obviously if you're releasing it, I know it's a bit of a stunt and that's a bit of fun, we're having fun with it, but there are people who are still doing pretty well, surely, and there's a larger growing number that are struggling.
I'd probably argue that the haves have copped it more than the have-nots because the most overwhelming feature is asset deflation. So it's the owners of the assets. The stock market's down 28% since November. So if you had nothing, you didn't have anything in the market, you've lost nothing. So it's those who had all the assets, I think, who have actually
struggled.
I mean, James Packer's down $3 billion. He's the ultimate have.
But he's gone not from, struggling at the
but
moment.
But he's gone from 8 to 5 bill. And, you know, the shares in the Crown Casino today have tumbled another 5%, record lows. He's a have and he's copping it. So,
No $350,000 dress for him.
Well, I tell you, these retailers need it. I mean, across the road, David Jones, their shares are down 5.6% today, and they're down from 550 to 270. So the retailers are copping it more, so they really need to sell a few of these dresses because the perception is that the consumer hasn't got money, there's too much debt, too much on the credit card. Who will be hit hardest? The retailers who rely on credit card sales.
Yeah,
so, you've got to feel sorry for them.
Stephen.
Lindy.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they're banks.
They are. I think Fannie, it's actually an acronym. Its real name is Federal Agency for National Mortgages or something. So that's where the Fannie came from. And it was set up just after, it was part of the New Deal after the Great Depression to try and get the home loans moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then Freddie was introduced in 1970 to provide Fannie with some competition. Because you can't just have one.
So they've both gone under at the same time?
Well,
under-ish.
Shares in both fell like 40, 50% on Friday. And then the government came out on Sunday and said blank check from Congress to buy as much shares and lend as much money as is needed, which is basically unprecedented. It'd be the equivalent of Wayne Swan and Ken Henry getting up and saying, please, Parliament, let us write a blank check to buy unlimited shares in our big four banks and lend them unlimited funds. So I think in terms of American prestige, it's probably the greatest blow I can recall. I mean, to have the ignominy of basically bailouts to two institutions which provide half of the home loans for Americans, and to effectively they're going to have to nationalise it, just shows how far the Americans have fallen.
I saw rows and rows and queues of people outside the branches across America on TV today just who are going in to take their money out. So that's not going to help.
Well, I think the Americans are in a... I mean, people have started off saying it was subprime. It's not. It's a full-scale financial crisis. I think it's a full-scale banking crisis. So they had the third biggest bank collapse on Friday, and the $8 billion bailout. And then just last night, shares in Washington Mutual, which is a big regional bank. Now, Washington Mutual bought National Australia Bank's old business, Homeside. So people would remember National Australia Bank lost $3.5 billion on Homeside. They sold it to Washington Mutual when they got out. Now, Washington Mutual shares fell 35% last night in one day. So you are seeing sort of runs. Bear Stearns has already gone under as the fifth biggest investment bank. There's lots of rumours about Lehman's, which is the third biggest investment bank. So it's just fear, contagion, and that's why we've seen our banks fall 3 to 4% today.
And what happens to people? I know people who have a homeside mortgage, for example, because they went through mortgage brokers here, and I'm sure that they wouldn't be alone in that. But what happens to people in that position who have, if they've got their mortgage with an overseas bank like that, that's struggling so much?
Well, I don't actually think it's going to affect the consumer, because what happens is that the government step in and take over. So in the case of the UK, Northern Rock, the government wrote a cheque for $100 billion and took it over. In the case of Freddie and Fannie, which have written 70% of all home loans in the last 6 months in America, or guaranteed and stood behind them, well, they're going to fall over. The government's going to step in and stand behind them. So the customer isn't... We're not going to have an HIH situation where someone is going to actually sort of lose their deposit or not get payout on an insurance policy. But the issue is how big and strong are the governments in terms of being able to stand behind? And that's why the US dollar is plunging around the world, because they already have $9 trillion of debt. They've just taken on another $5 trillion of debt, and surely they can't keep their AAA credit rating. the US government, you know, when they're running a budget deficit of $400 billion and a current account deficit of $800
billion. Which is what, I mean, we all sit here and kind of go, but well, hey, we're doing okay because of the commodities boom, et cetera, and China and what have you. But the world needs a strong American economy, does it not, in order to survive?
Well, I think that is what we are seeing, is that the Americans have exported financial contagion through what started with a subprime housing crisis of 2 million Americans who shouldn't have got loans, and has now become a full-blown global financial crisis, which is seeing banks falling over, share prices falling. I mean, if you look at the value of our big four banks, they peaked at $275 billion last November, which was a record, and they've dropped $113 billion since then to today. You know, like a lot of them are at 5- and 7-year lows today. So that's $113 billion has been wiped off the value of our big four banks. And they've only had very minor sort of debt write-downs, and they'll still make, you know, $20 billion probably pre-tax next year, whereas the American banks are all losing tens of billions of dollars. So we have the strongest banking cartel in the world. Our banks are, you know, world's best, world's strongest, because they've, you know, also got the world's most expensive banking system because customers get ripped off in Australia. But even then, they're down 41% since November. And that's contagion. That's global contagion where all banks just get wiped out.
What's the forecast?
Well, I mean, I'm buying. I put 5,000 into the stock market today. I think it's just panic and it's overdone. But I think at the absolute epicenter of this is the financial strength of the US government. I think that's what it comes down to. They can't keep on just funding wars and borrowing hundreds of billions. I mean, their currency is plunging against other currencies, and America's name and prestige and reputation has suffered. I mean, on August 17 next month, it'll be the 10th anniversary of the famous Russian default. So in 1998, the Russians defaulted, and it was the ruble rout. And since then, the Russians have bounced back, and they've now got $500 billion in foreign reserves. They're strong because they're riding the energy boom. And 10 years on, it's the Americans who are now in crisis, with the foreign government sovereign funds having to bail out their marquee financial brands like Merrill Lynch and Citigroup, and now the government itself having to bail out its home loan providers. And the big question is, does it have the capacity to do that? And what would happen if the US government got downgraded? Because, the Russians own $100 billion of US bonds. The Chinese own several hundreds of billions of dollars of US. So the rest of the world has lent the US government all this money, and they're now using these borrowings to sort of step in and bail out, you know, Bear Stearns and bail out Fannie, and it's I've never seen anything like it, and I think it's quite a moment in America's place in the world, I think, and it is quite a shifting of the grounds of the American management systems, and, you know, they really have stuff. They've really stuffed it up.
Wouldn't you love to be sitting there on whatever side of politics you sit, thinking, gee, I really, really want to take up this presidency. I'm just walking in at such a good time.
Well, I think the collapse of Fannie and Freddie, I think it actually symbolically will seal the White House for the Democrats and for Obama, because, I mean, it's been 8 years of a Republican management, and the ignominy of all this. I think that, you know, provided Obama doesn't do anything stupid, that it's sealed his victory, because...
But do you want it? Poison chalice that it is?
Oh, it'll be tough. I mean, that's the thing, is that the Americans, they're still doing tax cuts. Like, they actually have to put up taxes and cut military spending by more than 100. But they've got to take some hard action, like any company or person who gets into financial strife. And at the same level, so do our governments. None of our governments have come out and said, the dramatic drop in housing, in property turnover, the dramatic drop in superannuation and share prices has deteriorated our budget by over $1 billion this year. So collectively, the states and the feds are down, in a budget sense, well over $10 billion. But they haven't said a word. No one's come out and said boo about it. You see it on the stock market every day with, you know, stocks crashing. And so we need a bit more honesty, I think, from governments about their own financial positions and their exposures to these crazy financial times.
You just used the word honesty and governments in the same sentence. Foolish man. Right. Craig is in Ascot Vale with a question for you. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Lindy. I just had a question. I was just curious to hear the gentleman there saying
Stephen.
That he's buying bank shares at the moment. Australian banks are leveraged 20 times, and the only reason they've grown their earnings for the last 10 to 15 years is because volume growth has increased sort of 200-300%. And I think Australian banks are the most highly leveraged investment vehicle on our financial markets, and I wouldn't go near them.
You know, I haven't bought bank shares. I bought some Mervac today and some Allco Equity Partners. I won't touch banks either. But I agree, the banks have got rich, and their value of the banks went from $30 billion to $275 billion, basically clipping the ticket on our debt binge. That we had a massive debt binge where everyone had $1 trillion of household debt, and the banks just made a margin and fees, and they're making a fortune. And they are still going to make $20 billion this year, but they are exposed. If we have a 20% housing correction, which a lot of people think we might do, well, then the banks will be taking some pretty big write-offs like we've seen around the world. So I think banks are probably expensive as well, and their earnings are at risk. And it's interesting that the Future Fund has just lent our banks $35 billion to help with their liquidity in the last 6 or 9 months. So even the Future Fund is kicking a bit of cash into our banking system.
Wasn't that meant to be used for other purposes?
Yeah, well, when you put the former head of the Commonwealth Bank in charge of the Future Fund, of course he's going to help out his mates with $35 billion.
That's right. Can we squeeze Kevin in? Kevin, fire away.
Hello, Stephen.
Yeah, he's ready.
Yes. I just want to ask you, Stephen, do you think the capitalist system can survive all this in America? We're always told that capitalism was built on the basis of every man for himself, and if he went under, so bad. But now we see the government in America and the UK and Europe bailing out the banks that have all gone under, and where will it all end? Can the capitalist system survive this crisis?
Oh, I think it can. I love Warren Buffett's comment that we're America, we can handle a little bit of mismanagement. And they've had a lot of mismanagement, but they'll handle it. The strength of America is the fact that the likes of Microsoft and Oracle and all the billionaires, you know, Microsoft's got $50 billion cash, I think Oracle's got $20 billion cash. Their companies are still world beaters. Their government is stuffed financially, and they will need to take some measures. They'll need to tax their citizens and their corporates more and reduce their spending, because they've been running a budget deficit of 2% of GDP for 40 years. So the Americans have been living a false dream about just 101 economics, and they're going to have to do something about it, and obviously it'll take a change of government before we see that.
Stephen Mayne, shareholder activist, thank you very much.
Thanks, Lindy.